Hello and welcome to the Inquiry Teacher Podcast. On today's episode, I chat with Dave Nelson, the founder of Equity Maps and the high school principal at the American Community School of Athens in Greece. I've been using Equity Maps for some time now, and it truly is a fantastic tool that can be used to help with creating dynamic discussion groups within your classroom. Equity Maps comes with built-in templates for some popular discussion methods, such as spiderweb discussion or Socratic seminars. And in this episode, you will get to learn more about these and how the app is used in the classroom. I'm so excited to welcome David onto the podcast, as I am a huge fan of this app, and I hope by the end of this episode, you too will be inspired to give it a try. So let's begin the pod. Hello and welcome to the Inquiry Teacher Podcast. On each episode, I will be chatting with some fascinating people within the education world about what it is that makes a truly magical learning experience for students. Over the course of the series, I will be inviting a whole host of guests onto the show, from EdTech entrepreneurs to Inquiry Masters. This podcast will have it all. So join me, Matt Fletcher, for the Inquiry Teacher Podcast, available on all of your favourite podcasting platforms. For more information and tools to help you with your teaching practice, head on over to www.inquiryteacher.com or get in touch on Twitter at @inquiryteacher. Good afternoon, David. Welcome to the Inquiry Teacher Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on and reaching out halfway across the world, for sure.
So where in the world are you right now?
So I work in Athens, Greece. I'm at the American Community Schools of Athens, but I've been here for quite some time. I'm actually the principal of the academy, which is the high school level of the American International School here in Athens.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. So just to give the listeners information about yourself, can you give an introduction about your, you know, your background in education and perhaps how you got to where you are today?
Certainly, absolutely. So I've been in education for 32 years and originally from Oregon, from the West Coast of the United States, a social studies teacher by trade, and have pivoted many times throughout my profession in professional development, working in the IB program as well as an IB history teacher. And now I'm the principal in my third year at the American Community Schools of Athens. I'm also the founder of Equity Maps, an iPad app that we're going to talk a little bit about today of how it might help out some of your listeners.
Well, thank you again for taking the time to do this podcast. It's really great. You know, I wanted to get you on because I've been using Equity Maps in my classroom. And I think I found you on Twitter at one point. So I found it really useful so far. So I think it would be, you know, great to let the listeners know about your fantastic app that you've created. And maybe you can just introduce the, you know, the idea behind you wanting to create this app.
Okay, so you've used the app for supporting students in their language acquisition and also then for perhaps around literature, I suppose.
So I've Great. Used it, yeah, I've used it in different ways for, you know, especially with the language acquisition students. It's a great way to be able to record their progress.
Yeah, so let's just touch on a little bit what this app is all about. The goal of Equity Maps, it was actually created out of an intersection of my work with professional development and in the classroom. All of my career, I've discovered more and more ways to bring students' voices into the classroom. And Equity Maps app helps teachers and students to make their learning spaces more inclusive. We like to say one map at a time. I believe that when we make conversations visible so that students and teachers can consider how they interacted and what talk moves or student moves they made throughout the discussions and dialogue, how that impacted the message and the depth of that dialogue. So the goal of Equity Maps is to elevate all voices in the room. And it's putting engagement on the map. You know, it's not intended. It provides a lot of data that the user can map the conversations throughout the dialogue. And afterwards, they get instant data of how much participation time, how many times each participant talked, and then the types of contributions that they make. And afterwards, then the group can look at that data and objectively ask themselves, you know, how did it go today? Did we accomplish what we wanted? And how did these processes help us in making that even better or the conversation even deeper?
It does help to do all of that. And it's such a powerful tool to be able to share, you know, with your students, but, you know, also to see how engaged the students are in, you know, the topics that we teach as teachers as well. That's what I found very useful for me, in the sense that, you know, when you see them, you know, talking on their own, and we're going to talk about some of the methods that it can be used for in a moment, but it's, you know, it's a really great tool for, and very simple to use, might I add. It's, you know, provided not only myself, but also my students with another medium of reflection.
Well, I appreciate that feedback. And, you know, it's the best part about EdTech tools that have come from actual practitioners. I've developed this over the last 3 years, at first as a passion project. And now all of the profits are simply going back into the development phase. So we are constantly working to improve it based on what teachers are saying and how they're using it. We've got teachers using the app. A lot of coaches use the app too, to provide teachers data about how their classroom lessons unfold. So it's a way of providing some information to the listener that is a little bit less risky. It's not meant to be an assessment of what took place. It's meant to be a reflection. We like to say it's a mirror of what took place, and then getting people to think more deeply about the processes that they use.
Perhaps you can introduce to the listeners like some of the methods that are used within the tool, and maybe a little bit about some of the ones that are on there, because you have a lot of preset templates that are available, which is really easy to use.
Well, let's start with the work of Alexis Wiggins, because you're using the spiderweb discussions. And in that work, I suppose you're really trying to help the students to become more independent in their discussions. And in that model, the teacher steps back, usually monitoring the conversations and then debriefing with the students afterwards. And through these iterations, the students improve in their group discussions. So this model, let's talk a little bit about that, because I've been with teachers who have created smaller spider web discussions. In other words, they break up their class into smaller groups of 6 or 8, and they give each group an iPad, so the teacher is not even present during that mapping. And then one of the students in that small group, I've seen out on our campus here at school, where the teacher will send them out around the campus outside, sitting in a group of 6, and they each have a section of the chapter that they're reading in the literature at the time. They sit around in that small group, have their spider web discussion, if you will, map it on that iPad. And at the end, the teacher collects those iPads and can listen to what took place. And the students essentially have their freedom to interact, discover, dig into that text that they have, and then they report back to the larger group afterwards. It's a wonderful way to make the spiderweb discussions even more independent. And essentially the teacher becomes the fly on the wall that can monitor afterwards. I generated the Equity Maps app first out of more of a Socratic seminar method in the classroom. So larger group discussions. And in Socratic seminars, I believe that it's super important to emphasize skill development over content learning. The content learning is the effect of a really quality Socratic seminar. But to get there, they need a lot of soft skills, ranging from listening to paraphrasing, questioning at various different levels of questioning. And so Socratic seminars take time building those skills, and gradually then the teacher's role comes secondary. But at first, the teacher is facilitating more. It can be a larger group. With a Socratic seminar, up to 16 students perhaps can be in the inner circle. And if you've got a larger class, you can have an inner circle and an outer circle, and then shift those in and out during a particular discussion or a dialogue. What's the hardest thing for students to realize is they're not just individuals sharing their opinions or their reflections on a piece of work. The hardest thing for them to realize is that they're there to collectively co-construct knowledge of something they hadn't expected out of the text or out of the product. So the hardest thing to do, and it takes a while, it's not the first Socratic seminar, but when students get together, they develop those soft skills and they begin to enter that conversation with an open mind, not one of debate, not one of argumentation, but one of discovery, of trying to bring out all these perspectives from in the room. That's when they can really bring a new understanding to whatever it is they're reading. And then they're assessed afterwards. I don't believe that these discussion models should be assessed, or if they're assessed, they're assessed for different reasons, perhaps what the students bring to the dialogue and then what they gain from the dialogue afterwards. So you always bring in some mechanisms to check in and check out, but the dialogue itself should be for enriching their understanding of what it is they're studying. That's the ideal, I'd say, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. And I think the idea of like debriefing and giving that feedback to students, I think the first time I used the app with the students, and then I shared it on the screen, and they could see the interactions that they've had, how long they, you know, have spoken for, you know, the they really like the thick lines of communication. The thicker they get from if they're interacting with certain people. And then, like, after using it just the first time, the question was, you know, Mr. Fletcher, when can we do a discussion like that again? When can we see how we've improved? Or, you know, I'm talking too much. I should be listening way more than I am talking, which is, you know, really, you know, insightful for them to be able to, you know, to see it and to see, you know, the kind of soft skills or the, you know, that they need to be improving as well.
Yeah, it's these aha moments, right? I always think of looking in the mirror. You might walk around all day and your hair's out of place, but as soon as you look in the mirror, you see it and correct it. And for so many of these students, they've never really thought about how much they talk or how little they contribute and how much they might be able to say. You know, in education, how many times do we get to the end of the lesson and we don't have time for the reflection, or we don't have time to debrief with students? And I think that's one of the biggest habits that I try to help now the teachers at my school as the principal. When I'm having conversations with them, it's that last 5 to 10 minutes of a discussion that can be so much more powerful because they debrief. And like you said, with equity maps, you can show them the map and show how the conversation unfolded, and then show them some statistics about what percentage of time each individual spoke. How much silence was there during the conversation? And those statistics, when you step back and then ask, what is it about this data? What do you notice? And how did that affect how our conversation or our dialogue unfolded today? They come up with so many realizations. They come up with so many conclusions. And then we try to set goals for the next time. You know, what should this, or what could this look like so that we could be more inclusive? And then they move through improvement phases.
So where did you, I mean, I know that you said that, you know, it's a passion of yours that you've, you know, you kind of built this app up, and now you're putting the profits back into the app. So like, where are you seeing the future of Equity Maps? Like, how do you, you know, see the vision of the app? Where do you want to take it? You know, are there any features you could, you know, let the listeners know about that may be coming?
Sure. So the goal is we're exclusively on the iPad for now. And that was simply out of trying to get the best product and to continue to improve that product according to what people are looking for and what teachers could most use. So the next goal is to expand that into other platforms. I'd like to put it into a web-based version. And we've got a team working on that right now. But we're probably about 8 to 12 months out before that would be released. As far as features, the newest features that we've added to Equity Maps, some really cool features for teachers who want to conference with individual students following a discussion. You can go into the participant analytics, and now you can have all that data on one screen. It includes their talk time, the contributions there's a feature called Check Notes that you can track anything that you want to customize or use one of the templates. For example, if you're working on text references, if you're working on paraphrasing, you can add those check notes into the app and monitor them during the discussion. So afterwards, in these participant analytics, you sit down with the student in a one-on-one conference and you say, how did it go for you today? And you can actually review what the student said at any point in the conversation on that one screen. And you can also look at what the person said right before them. So it's a great tool for one-on-one feedback, especially for students as you're reviewing their particular understanding of the work. So we've got a lot of new features that we've recently released, and we're looking forward to putting it out there on other platforms for people to enjoy and utilize in their classroom to make things more inclusive.
For me, one of the most powerful things from it is being able to actually like add comments as well. So if a student has said something really interesting and we want to spark more discussion from that later on, you know, I can actually type in what they've said at that time. And for me as well, it helps. It's helped improve my practice as a teacher because it ensures that I'm listening for key information and I'm giving that feedback to the students. I'm pushing them to expand further on a point that they've made. So it really gets them thinking and you know, getting them to try and, you know, elaborate more on what it is that they wanted to say, which I think is a really powerful tool to be able to provide.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear that because so users understand as the conversation is unfolding, you can take notes and whomever is speaking at that time, the note attaches to that speaker. So for example, if you go into participant analytics at the end, anything that Matt had said and I took notes on, it's entered into that comment line. So it's a nice way to highlight, perhaps make some suggestions, and it's a little bit less intrusive way of giving feedback at the very end.
The features of the app, that Save Equity Maps, you said that it's going to hopefully be a web version. Does that mean, would it be like a similar set of features that would be on? I mean, would it just work in a web browser? Is that the intention for it?
That's the intention, that's right. So the idea is so that users can utilize it on their Chromebooks, on their Android. That would be the goal. And it'll change the model a little bit to get it out to more users. Right now, users can buy a one-time purchase. We don't have any kind of ongoing fees. So it's a real good deal right now for everyone to try and love to get in as many hands out there as possible. You know, there's another feature that you might think about for your language acquisition classes. There's we added something called identity markers, which you can add a characteristic to any of the students who are in your class. For example, if you wanted to add their language level, if you wanted to add the age level, if you've got mixed aged groups. So you can tag each of the speakers with the language level, their age level, and at the end of the conversation, Equity Maps will show you what percentage of contributions, time, and number of times spoken for each area that you've identified. So if you wanted to see who was speaking out more, in some differentiated classes, they have honor students and standard level students. And it's really interesting to see how those participation levels change depending on the mix of the group. It's a really, I've used it when doing some observations in classrooms, and you can tag which students are in the front of the room, in the back of the room, which are on the right side, on the left side. And it's pretty interesting to see how the patterns of where teachers call on and who they call on. In addition to the gender, we have gender equity as well that comes up in the app. So that's always fun for students to see.
Are you observing your teachers and using Equity Maps? Can you tell me a little bit more about that? That seems like a really interesting way to use the tool.
Sure. I had a teacher who was actually working on making her class more inclusive. It was a second language class, and she wanted to make her class, she wanted to help all of her students be recognized and be involved. And it's a very differentiated class. There were three different levels in that particular class. And when I mapped the conversation. By the way, I didn't speak the language that was being spoken. So it was a really nice way to observe because I could do it very objectively. At the end, I was able to show her the data and how much the teacher spoke. In that particular example, the teacher spoke 55% of the time. And she didn't realize it. And when I showed her and I said, you know, what do you think? How much do you predict? She had predicted about 30-some percent. When I showed her 55, you know, the jaw drops. And then I remember the student with the most proficiency spoke the least. And when she saw that, it was a simple question, you know, how does that reflect the goals that you wanted to take place here in this lesson? You know, how is that reflects your goals and what might you do differently next time? It was such a good conversation. And, you know, it's when you have data like that, it becomes what we call the third point. You know, you're not talking to the person about their performance. You're talking about the data and what unfolded. So it depersonalizes it, just like it does with students. So we're not saying you talk too much. We're saying in this conversation, you spoke about 30% of the time. Others spoke this much time. It's a very different conversation.
For people who haven't, you know, used the app, if they're recording these classes, can they share the audio files or anything like that with students after? Is there a way to do that?
So you can share it as a CSV file right now, but the audio, we're going to add the feature just for audio. As far as the video mapping, it only shares the final mapping. That's something we're working on. It's pretty heavy in the data, the way that we designed it. And that's something that we're working on. Given the new iPad features, you can also record it afterwards. So you can create a video of it. And many teachers have afterwards, if they want to share the full audio, they'll record it on their iPad and then put that up on a Google Drive so that students can access it.
Where can the listeners find your app? I mean, it's on the App Store for iPad. Is there anywhere else? Is there any social media accounts or websites that they can check out for more information?
Absolutely. So go onto the website, www.equitymaps.com. And on Twitter, you know, follow me at @equitymaps as well. And on the iTunes store, there's a premium version. It's $9.99. There's no subscription, so it's super easy. And if schools have the volume purchase program, they can get it for 50% off. So schools can buy up to 20 licenses and download them at one time, and they're ready to go. So it's a really good deal. And like I said, we're putting all money back into the app development itself. And that's been really helpful just to keep the development process going. So I really appreciate your listeners, you know, investing in a process that's helping us practitioners create better work and make classes more inclusive.
What was the most magical moment that you've seen or witnessed and that you've used Equity Maps at that time in the classroom? Is there anything that, you know, that stands out and you were happy that you had, you know, your app on and recording the interactions?
Yeah, I can remember many times when, like I said, jaws drop and it's just this wow factor. It's like, really? I remember a couple of one of the very first times I ever mapped. It was in a Socratic seminar with a group of students I had been working with several times during the year. And we had done things on paper. But when I showed them the app for the first time, I remember this one girl standing up and she pointed at the participation levels where the boys had dominated in the gender equity. And she stood up and was just adamant. She says, "See, this is how I feel every single time." And she was passionate about it. And then the group started to have a discussion about what that meant to her. One of my favorite stories, in addition to that, was a story with silence. I remember at the end in the debrief, we were reviewing the statistics and silence was so limited. It was like maybe 2 seconds in a 40-minute dialogue. And I always ask the students, you know, what do you notice? And one of the students raised his hand and said, "I noticed we had very little silence. And I think that means that we really knew our stuff and we were prepared." Then I asked, "Well, who agrees with that?" A few hands went up and we got those insights. And I said, well, does anyone see it differently? And one of the quieter students raised her hand. And she said, when we don't have any silence and any pause, I can't keep up with the conversation. And she said, it's moving so fast and changing so fast. By the time I raise my hand, the ideas have passed. I said, and then I asked, did anyone else feel that way? Two or three hands went up. The group set the goal after that conversation to work in pauses intentionally so that everyone had the chance to process. And in the next, that's what their goal was. In our next dialogue, we're going to have this much silence during the discussion so that everyone can be more inclusive. It gives me chills because that was exactly how it unfolded. And it came directly from the students. And you can imagine for that student who wasn't as perhaps as aggressive in the dialogue, she got her voice in and then the group understood. I think that was a huge lesson and I will never forget that moment.
Do you have any books that you recommend? I always like to ask guests what would be your top three books if it was for self-development within education. Is there anything you can recommend that really is really useful?
So on the topic of Socratic seminars and dialogue, three I'm thinking of right now is, if you haven't checked out Charles Fisher's book, it's The Power of Socratic Classroom. He's an amazing practitioner who has worked with Socratic seminars for years, and he put together such a good research book. And it's also on Kindle. And I worked with him in one of the chapters to feature some of the qualities and characteristics of equity maps. Also, you mentioned Alexis Wiggins' book. Totally recommend it. The Best Class You Never Taught. She's done some amazing work. And she's done a lot of work internationally as well. And now I think she's living back in Texas. She's keeping up in the professional development realm and continuing to develop her work. Finally, I'm doing my dissertation work right now on dialogic pedagogy. And, I came across Bohm. Bohm is this physicist who picked up studying discussion and dialogue. And his book was released in the 1990s. It's called On Dialogue. And I would recommend listening to it on Audible because it's such an interesting read. He's a physicist and he specialized in quantum theory, but later in his life, in his 70s, he started thinking about intrapersonal and interpersonal communication. He defines dialogue and the purpose of talking with people and discussing things with people in a completely different way. And I think it will help to trigger some thinking about what our real goal is in the classroom and how we can truly help students prepare for the end of the 21st century. Thank you for the opportunity, Matt, and congratulations on rekindling your podcast. I love speaking with people from around the world, and it's always exciting. It's exciting to see that teachers are using it in the same way it was envisioned, and especially to promote better and deeper dialogue in the classroom. If anything that we need right now in the world are more conversations and a lot more listening, a little bit less talking, I would say. Mm. So Equity Maps is helping teachers to do that all around the world and hopefully can bring students a little bit closer together in the classroom.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on one of the first episodes of this new podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your weekend to speak to me.
My pleasure, and good luck with the podcast and all the best with the work in your school as well.